to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We are joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by Kevin Freeman, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, specializing in economic warfare. This is the subject of his terrific blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com, and his two best-selling books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. Kevin is going to be the star of a forthcoming television program known as Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, which we await with bated breath. But in the meantime, we're delighted to have a chance to talk with him here at Secure Freedom Radio. Kevin, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Great to be here.
You had a chance to see now, I believe, twice a movie that its star received, I think, Golden Globe Best Actor Award for, namely Darkest Hour, about Winston Churchill's rise to the prime ministership of Great Britain at a critical moment as World War II was unraveling in Europe and upon the Brits. You had a couple of insights that I thought were really important, Kevin. Would you share them with our folks as to the relevance of that film and the story it tells to our own time?
Absolutely. I loved the movie. I saw it once with my wife, went back and took my teenager to see it. I thought it was important, a history lesson, and some of the things that I learned in it are reinforcing. One of the obvious things was picked up by Governor Huckabee that Churchill was not very liked. He was considered crude and rude, and even though it's not depicted in the movie, he had quite a mouth on him. Based on my research, I found he had a parrot that lived to be over 100 years old that repeated a number of expletives from the former prime minister. That message was so clear to Governor Huckabee and so clear to me, there's a strong comparison. He was willing to call the evil of Nazism for what it was and call Hitler out. And our current president is hated by the press and disliked by the elite politicians, but he's been at least willing to, on occasion, call out radical Islamic terrorism. And so I saw a comparison there between our president and the prime minister.
Among others, he has been calling out the Chinese with some regularity, too. And I want to talk with you a little bit more about that. But, you know, one of the other pieces of this that that I thought was a striking parallel is that it fell to Winston Churchill at a critical moment to rally the people of Britain. To imbue them once again with a sense of, national security-mindedness is the way I think of it, but also the warrior spirit and ethos. And I think at a moment where we are facing, I would argue, Kevin Freeman, as dangerous an international environment as I've lived through in 40 years or so of working in this space, It seems to me a similar kind of rallying of the American people to the need to address these threats. And I just would invite you to talk about this, at least in the immediate moment, about what Donald Trump has been trying to do with respect to securing our homeland by building a wall and taking other steps to improve our immigration security policies and practices. Would you make that parallel as well?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, with Churchill, the appeasement was Adolf Hitler, and yet the infiltration of the Nazis in America and in England was pretty deep. And so as a result, when Churchill appealed to President Roosevelt, can you help us? Roosevelt, who wanted to help, said his hands were tied. We see the same parallel with the Chinese infiltration into our higher education system, with the Muslim Brotherhood infiltration that you talk about so much. And the only solution for that was to go around the political elites and go to the people. And in the movie, it depicts Churchill going into the underground and talking with people. He'd never been on a subway. He'd never been in the underground. He'd never boiled an egg. He was an elitist himself. And yet he recognized the threat, and he knew that he had to go to the people and rally them, and that's precisely what he did, and obviously it worked.
The rest, as they say, is history, Kevin Freeman. Let me ask you about the Chinese. Again, your beat is economic warfare. I think you cover it formidably. And in so doing, I wanted to just run a couple of things by you that caught my attention and see what you make of them. There is a new report out that suggests that the United States is at real risk of losing the position that it has long enjoyed in terms of being an engine of scientific achievement, and that China really has begun transforming itself into a scientific superpower. Would you talk about this this assessment by the National Science Foundation and National Science Board and its implications?
Well, it's a pretty stark implication. Their research and development in China has increased rapidly. But what's not mentioned in this assessment is the reality that the Chinese have been stealing our intellectual property for years. They've hacked it, hired away talent. They've stolen it by forcing companies that come to China that want to produce in China or sell in China to disclose exactly how things are manufactured and all of the secret sauce behind the technology. And of course, they've co-opted most of our major universities. They've put these Confucius Institutes on, and they've infiltrated. So they've done a massive brain drain with theft and other means. And of course, as they're pouring the money that we've given them, buying their goods and services and the trillions that they've built up, as well as debt that they've assumed, they really have bought and stolen a significant technological advantage, and they've caught up with us. And in many cases, as you and I saw at a conference that we had in Washington, some of our top military people and technologists have said they've surpassed us in multiple areas.
One of those that's particularly ominous, and honestly, I can't get my head around what in fact is involved, but talk a little bit about this quantum computing technology and the relative capabilities that the Chinese are developing in that space, Kevin.
Well, quantum computing is a new way of connecting information. It's going from a linear to a three-dimensional world. And in the computers, and what it essentially does for a layperson is it just makes everything that much faster. It gives the ability to crack algorithms, for example, much more quickly than ever has been possible, which means that you can decrypt anything you want to decrypt, and you can encrypt anything you want to encrypt and make it impossible for others. So they could steal secrets, hide them, keep them. They can break into any system. It really is ominous. But it also promotes our artificial intelligence on a scale we've never seen before, which is where you get the super soldiers. That's where you get the rise of the Terminator concepts. And so people like some of the most sophisticated intellectuals say this is a serious threat to humanity. Well, the Chinese have very little restrictions and are going full bore into this technology, and it will be under their control at least until the AI overthrows its masters. If that happens, it'll be under Chinese control initially. It really is ominous for the world. And America, we've fallen behind, but we assume we're still ahead. This reminds me of the British and what they felt going into 1939, 1940.
Kevin, so much more to talk about, not least about the Chinese threat to global trade, which they say we are actually the principal threat to. But that will be for another day. In the meantime, thank you so much for your time today. Come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.